Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The mind of a criminal can be a very dark place. But you're not scared of the dark. Are you? Crime Con, the world's number one true crime event, is coming to London, June 2021. Get inside the mind of serial killers and psychopaths. Learn from leading criminologists. Hear from the families and survivors. Meet your favorite true crime podcasters. Immerse yourself in forensic evidence and delve deeper into unsolved crimes. Limited early bird tickets are on sale now. Visit crimecon.co.uk. CrimeCon UK, the ultimate true crime weekend, partnered by Crime and Investigation.
Hi, and welcome back to this bonus episode of the Unseen Podcast, a podcast dedicated to missing people, unresolved cases, and UK true crime. As we're currently on a break while I get used to life with my new baby girl who arrived on the 9th of September, I thought I would take the chance to cover some recent missing person appeals that I have been linked to and have been following in the news. I get sent quite a few recommendations for the podcast of recent missing person cases, and I would love to cover them all, but often, as they're so recent, I struggle to put together enough information for a full episode. I would love to use these smaller bonus episodes to get these recent appeals out there, and hopefully help in some way to giving them extra publicity. I want to thank everyone who has alerted me to some of these missing person cases and for sharing them so widely. The first case I wanted to cover on today's episode is the disappearance of Leah Croucher in February 2019. Leah was 19 at the time that she went missing, and in February of that year was living at home with her parents, John and Claire. They lived on Buzzacott Lane in the Fertsen area of Milton Keynes, a large town in Buckinghamshire. Her parents have described Leah as being shy, naive and home-loving, which was part of the reason she still lived with them. She was, however, independent with her own group of friends and her own job, and she was loved by all of her family members. The 14th of February 2019 was the last time that her parents saw Leah, at around 10 p.m. that evening. It's reported that she told her family that she'd been planning on meeting a friend that night, however this meeting did not happen. The next morning it's known that Leah set off for work as usual, and she was spotted by CCTV cameras at around 8:15 a.m, walking in the direction of work. This was not unusual, and the way that Leah would normally head when setting out in the morning. What was unusual, however, was when Leah did not return home, and her family and friends received no contact from her. Her parents immediately knew something wasn't right, and contacted the police to report her as a missing person. The police launched a wide-scale investigation to try and locate Leah, and find out as much about her movements as they could. They looked closely at CCTV from the area, and confirmed that she had been on her way to work at around 8:15 a.m. Looking at her mobile phone activity, it was evident that Leah had been using her phone as normal, and had even posted on Snapchat at 8:13 a.m. that morning. A search was launched in the area where she had last been seen, which it's reported in the Sun newspaper was Quantock Crescent, just around a 10-minute walk from her home. Leah was known to walk regularly through Fertsen and into the area of Knoll Hill, around 2 miles away, or a 40-minute walk. The search of the local area, however, did not locate Leah, and 4 days after she had been reported missing, search teams focused on Fertsen Lake, a man-made lake in the area just 1.5 miles from where Leah had last been seen. Underwater teams took charge of this and searched the lake for any sign, but again, they didn't manage to find anything. It was thought that Leah may have walked in this direction, towards the lake, that morning. Her family began putting up posters around the local area in the hope that someone may have seen her that day. It's reported in the BBC that police did appeal for information about a woman that was seen on the 15th of February at between 9:30am and 11:15am, close to Thurston Lake. Three witnesses also reported seeing a woman fitting a similar description to Leah, and she appeared to be angry, upset and crying. The police are also trying to track down who this woman was and have not been able to confirm that this was Leah. Police have stated that they would like to know Leah's whereabouts between 6pm and 7:30pm on the evening before, the 14th of February. It was known that Leah didn't meet up with the friend that she said she was going to, however did pop out for around an hour and a half before returning home. Her whereabouts are still not known, and police would like to find out if it has any relevance to her disappearance. Since Leah went missing, her parents have been crucial in campaigning for their daughter, with her father John even stating that he believes he knows that someone has information. In a BBC article from February this year, he stated that he was not afraid to name this person if they did not come forward with the information that the police need. The family have also confirmed that Leah was in a relationship with an older man who was already engaged before her disappearance. This had begun the summer before she went missing. Due to legal reasons, his name has not been included in any public articles, however he has been called Mr. X. In a statement to the Sun newspaper, her mother Claire stated, "She was talking about this man all the time, it was X this and X that. It was obvious she had a soft spot for him. She'd go and see him in the evenings, paying £13 each way in a taxi." There were also times when Leah had told her parents she was seeing friends in one place, but her bank records showed she was elsewhere. The police have confirmed that they have spoken to Mr. X, however it's believed that he has an alibi for the time of her disappearance. Checks on Leah's bank account and social media show that they have both remained untouched since her disappearance. There has been no sign of any of her belongings, such as her bag, phone or clothing. Her family believe that she cannot just have vanished into thin air and are sure that something must have happened to her as it's so out of character. Telling the Mirror newspaper, Leah's mother addressed her directly, saying, "We can't believe that you ran away as much as we desperately want to. Young ladies aged 19 with thousands in the bank do not run away with barely £5 in their purse, no clean clothes, not confiding in any friends at 8:10am on a cold winter's morning. It was -4 that day. If you were going to break contact with every person on the planet you knew, why did you send your daily streaks on Snapchat at 8:13? Why head in the direction of work? The opposite direction to any transport links out of the area? Why not call in sick to work so that you had an alibi for another 8 hours that day? Because you were following your usual daily routine, and someone intercepted you and took you away. You had no plans to run away. The police describe your case as highly unusual, for these reasons and more." It's clear that Leah's disappearance has caused her family so much heartache, and sadly they would be hit by another tragedy in the family just 9 months after Leah went missing. Her older brother Hayden had taken his own life. The family confirmed that he had been struggling with Leah's disappearance and was concerned with the fact that February the 15th was approaching and there was still no news about what had happened to her. The family had been rocked by two tragedies within a year and have become even more dedicated to finding out what has happened to Leah. Just this month, her parents and the police have appealed for anyone with information to come forward. The police told the BBC, "I would like to reach out and appeal to the residents and commuters in this area, particularly Buzzacott Lane, Dulverton Drive, Loxbier Avenue and the roads close to Thurston Lake. We know these locations were such a feature of Leah's weekday routine. The smallest piece of information could be absolutely key." If you know anything about Leah Croucher's disappearance, please contact Thames Valley Police at 101 or Missing People at 116 000. I will put all links in the show notes. There is currently a £10,000 reward for information about her disappearance. I'm so excited to tell you that CrimeCon, the world's number one true crime event, is coming to London in June 2021. Get inside the mind of serial killers and psychopaths, learn from leading criminologists, hear from the families and survivors, meet your favourite true crime podcasters, immerse yourself in forensic evidence, and delve deeper into unsolved crimes. CrimeCon is the ultimate true crime weekend partnered by Crime and Investigation. I will be there all weekend on Podcast Row with more than 20 of your other favourite podcasters. It's going to be a great weekend and I can't wait to meet up with all of you and hear from all the different experts and speakers. Limited tickets are on sale now and I would love for you to come along to what will be an amazing weekend. So if you're interested and also want to support the show, quote Unseen for a special 10% discount. Visit crimecon.co.uk for more information and to book your tickets. I can't wait to see you all there. The other case I want to shine a light on today was suggested to me by Carla on Twitter and was one that I believe needed more attention. The disappearance of John Tossell in June 2019 took his family by surprise and has caused them to wonder what could have possibly happened to him. John was 73 years old when he travelled out to the Greek island of Zakynthos in June 2019 with his partner Gillian. John is from the Welsh town of Bridgend, 20 miles from the city of Cardiff and the same distance from the city of Swansea. As both a father and a grandfather, John is part of a close-knit family. It's reported that he and Gillian had decided to take a last-minute trip to the Greek island of Zakynthos, also known as Zante, during the months of June. Zakynthos is the third largest of the Greek islands and is known for its shoreline, which is around 76 miles in length, and for its many caves located on it. It's a popular tourist destination and attracts many visitors each year. John and Gillian arrived on the island on June the 14th, and the couple began to enjoy their holiday together, eating out and visiting the sites. Just 3 days into their holiday, on the morning of the 17th of June, John told Gillian that he wanted to visit a monastery on Mount Skopos, which is close to the village of Argassi. Mount Skopos was accessible to visitors and was not a very arduous climb. It's reported in Wales Online that two cars can pass each other on the path and that the walk was not a dangerous one. John set off on the walk and this was not unusual for him. He has been described by his family as a fit man who did lots of exercise in his spare time, including swimming and walking for miles with his dogs. The fact that John wanted to go up Mount Skopos was therefore not strange, as it's not a huge mountain and quite easily climbed by most visitors to the area. He set off on the morning of the 17th, and Gillian expected to see him later on that day after he'd finished. This, however, didn't happen. John did not return back to the hotel, and it was at this point that Gillian decided to raise the alarm that he was missing. She told the police that he had been up to Mount Skopos, and the police began a search of the mountain, hoping to come across John. Unfortunately, despite a full search of the area, John was not located. He appeared to have just disappeared, and this was a huge concern for his family. He was healthy and fit, and they could see no reason why he would have just disappeared. The question for John's loved ones was if something had happened on the mountain, why had he not been found up there? It's reported in Wales Online that John's family were determined to see that a thorough search had been done to find him. John's daughter Katie managed to raise £7,000 and hired volunteers from the Western Beacons Mountain Rescue Team to fly out to Zakynthos to search Mount Skopos. In total, two major searches were carried out on the mountain. However, no trace of John was found up there. John's family and friends are absolutely devastated by his disappearance and are still unclear what exactly has happened to him. His daughter Katie had told the press her own thoughts about what may have happened to her father and also has passed comment on the way in which the Greek investigation has been carried out. She told Wales Online, "To be honest, I think something untoward has gone on. He was a fit man and an intelligent man who knew his limits. He would have been found by now if he had fallen, It's not a difficult mountain to climb. Two cars can pass each other on the path. It's not dangerous at all. Based on what we know, someone must know something. She also commented, I'm pretty confident that the police aren't investigating it. It's frustrating more than anything, but we haven't given up yet. We need to know. I don't think my father's coming back, but we need to try and bring him back and find closure, to be able to put some flowers on his grave. It's sad that John's family feel that the police in the area have not done anything to help them, and that the investigation has not been very thorough. This is always such a tragedy in missing person cases, and it always makes me sad to hear that people's lives are not taken seriously by authorities. The family have had some coverage in Greece, however, through a Greek TV programme called Light in the Tunnel. The programme focuses on the stories of missing people in the country, and it's reported that they have helped find over 1,600 missing people during the course of the 827 episodes that have aired. The production team researched John's disappearance and travelled out to the area to conduct their own investigation. John's family were hopeful that something may come from the programme and that someone may see it and remember seeing John that day. As of this year, however, there has been no new leads that have come from the investigation or from the TV programme that have been publicised. John's family have continued to push for a criminal investigation to be carried out in relation to his disappearance and believe that foul play was involved. Gillian has also commented on the Greek investigation, telling the BBC, "We, as a family, had to go to the restaurants and bars in Argassi to source the CCTV and the image of him, and if the area had been searched sooner, perhaps more clues could be picked up." This was referring to an image of John that had been found on local CCTV on the day that he went missing. He is seen wearing a blue polo t-shirt, pale cargo shorts, a cap and sunglasses. He was also carrying a bottle of water. In June 2020, it was announced that Gillian had put up a reward of £10,000 for anyone with information about John's disappearance. This reward had been upped from the original £5,000 amount. It's reported in Wales Online that Gillian hopes that the reward may prompt someone to come forward due to the economic climate in Greece. Unfortunately, there has been very little information come in about sightings of John around the time that he went missing. There was one possible sighting of him from a witness who was in a cafe at the summit of Mount Skopos. They stated that they saw a man who fit John's description stop in that location for around half an hour and drink a large bottle of water. This suggests that John reached the summit of the mountain, however it's also not clear whether this was indeed John. In June, John had officially been missing for a year, and his family have appealed to the public for any relevant information. John's daughter Katie told the BBC, "That's why we're putting the appeal out today, asking people if they were in Argassi to really think back and think hard, if you have seen my dad. During this lockdown, you've got time to go through your holiday photos and check if you can see him in the background. If anyone wants to come forward anonymously just to give us some information, we just want to find him, and if not alive, at least we can then lay him to rest and have closure." The Lucy Blackman Trust, who aids families of UK residents missing abroad, has also appealed for information. If you know anything about John Tassell's disappearance, you can contact police on 101, or you can contact the Lucy Blackman Trust on 0800 098 8485, or email them at ops@lbtrust.org, and all the information will be treated with the strictest confidence. The returning sponsor of today's episode is June's Journey. I'm really excited that June's Journey has decided to work with the podcast again because I love playing the game and I've really got into it during lockdown. It's a free-to-download mobile game set during the 1920s. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game where you have to find clues in the beautifully crafted vintage scenes and try to solve the crime. The game is perfect if you want to relax, but also tests your powers of observation and investigation skills. The 1920s theme is so striking, and the game takes you through many of the colourful and intricate scenes from the era. If you're looking for something fun and lightly challenging, then June's Journey is for you, as you follow the story and try to solve the mystery along the way. June's Journey has more than 3 million active fans around the world, and is available on Android, iOS and on desktop through Amazon and Facebook. The game is free to download and is really easy to get into and enjoy. The link to download the game is in the show notes, and I'm sure it will be something that you will love, so give it a go and support our sponsors. I really do hope that we find some answers in both of the cases that we have covered on today's episode. Their families both deserve answers and closure, and unfortunately, unless more information is forthcoming, this may not be possible. I will put pictures and contact details on social media, so look out for those if you want to learn more about the cases. I want to just recommend something that I've been watching on BBC if you're interested in how missing person cases are carried out. I'm in no way affiliated with this programme, it's just one I personally really enjoy watching. It follows missing person investigations from across the UK in real time, and shows how police carry them out, the stories of the people who go missing, and what happens afterwards. It's called Reported Missing, and it's a really sensitive and well thought out programme, and is a real eye-opener as to the reasons and circumstances in which people go missing. I will leave a link in the show notes if you're interested in it. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I would love to know if you enjoyed this format and would like to see more bonus missing person appeals going forward. I personally enjoy putting them together and think they can be so vital. If you have any suggestions for recent appeals you would like me to share, please let me know. We are still on a break with a new series starting on the 25th of October. I will be covering quite a big case for my first episode back. In fact, it's been one of the most requested over the almost 3 years we have been going, so make sure you tune into that one. Thank you to our patrons who are amazing and keep the show going. Ad-free early access and bonus episodes have been continuing over on Patreon, so if you feel you need more episodes, there are tons more on there for you to be listening to. The link is in the show notes. Please continue to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and subscribing on YouTube. I will be as in contact as I can be over the break and hopefully giving you some baby updates. Please do share the podcast with others as it really helps, especially when we're not releasing regular episodes. As always, thanks for listening and keep in touch until we're back on the 25th of October. I'm Caprice and...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This has been Unseen.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.